Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is Harbor on Indian Creek, LLC 07-0500. Mr. Woodward.
Morning, Mr. Bowman.
Morning,
sir. Members of the Commission.
Harbor on Indian Creek may sound familiar. We were here last month with one of the community piers associated with this development. This particular application is requesting authorization to construct two 100-foot-long four-slip T-head community piers, each with four uncovered boat lifts and two 24-foot finger piers, and complete a third 12-slip community pier with uncovered boat lifts in each slip. That will extend a maximum of 50 feet channelward of the face of an existing wharf on site. All of this to serve the 24-unit Harbor on Indian Creek residential development on Pittman's Cove in Lancaster County. The project is protested by numerous residents on the cove upstream of the property. And Kathy, I'll go straight to the slides, please. You may recall, this is where we were last month. Kilmarnock Wharf coming up Indian Creek. This is Pittman's Cove. Project site is an old commercial chip loading facility for a paper company, it's my understanding. There's good deep water in the cove from where the barges and tugs came in, as you can see from this 2002 aerial photograph. This is pre any of the development of the residential units, but essentially the parcel is this sort of inverted J shape along the shoreline here. A little closer look, the shoreline has been hardened. At this point in time, this is the old wharf where the barges were loaded. In 1999, an application under the name of Bob Bragg was submitted and approved by the commission for four slips, four piers, three T-head piers, and a fourth pier at the wharf facility. Each of the T-head piers had four slips, with 12 slips at the old wharf. This was the layout of the upland development at the time. There's additional units off the water in the lower part of the slide. This is the new application, vicinity map, project drawings using the old 99 plan showing the layout of the units. Again, 24 units. In this drawing, there's 15 on the water, 9 off the water, 4 piers, 24 slips total. I had asked the applicant for an updated site plan because the layout of the actual units and buildings on the property has changed, wherein these are all the units along the waterfront are now duplexes. There's 7 duplexes for a total of 14 units, quote-unquote, on the waterfront, and then the remainder are in duplexes and triplexes inland or upland. Again, 24 units, 24 slips at 4 piers. Detail of the plan for Pier 2, all of the X's represent boat lifts. This structure that's shaded is already in. I believe one of these finger piers is already in. The aerials and ground shots will show that. The remainder to be built are these fingers coming out this direction, fingers coming off of here, and outboard mooring piles. The distance channelward of the face of the wharf is 50 feet. To this outboard mooring pile, showing the slip at 40 feet, 40 foot in dimension, taking the 6 feet wide from the marginal wharf off. Piers 3 and 4, this is the plan for those two piers, each a total of 90 feet channelward of mean low water. Again, 4 slips, each slip with a boat lift, outboard mooring piles 40 feet from the main stem of the pier, with a 6x50-foot T-head and 2 4x24-foot finger piers. Total length of the pier is 110, but again, it's 90 feet from mean low water as proposed. This is a section view indicating the same information for both piers 3 and 4 and for pier 2. In light of some questions and opposition raised by some of the folks that live up on the cove, I asked the agent to provide depth soundings at each of the piers or the proposed pier locations. This is the information that came in for that. I apologize. It is a little bit difficult to see these numbers. But essentially, this is Pier 2, which is the pier at the wharf. This is the mooring pile 48 feet from the bulkhead. I actually scaled it at 50 feet. And you see the depth is in excess of minus 8 at mean low water. In fact, it's more like 14 feet. Again, it's deep water off of the face of the wharf where the barges and tugs operated. Similar information for Pier 3, 90 feet from mean low water. We come up with approximately between 3.5 and 3.25 feet, according to the agent. This information was taken at 2 o'clock, between 2 and 4 on March 15th. I mentioned a lot of this because there are some questions about mean low water, low tide, high tide. Hank hopefully will clarify some of that for us later in the day, but I wanted to mention that depending on when you're there, the tide, you know, the depth is a little bit different. 90 feet from mean low water for Pier 4 gives a little bit more water, 5 feet mean low water, according to the applicant's agent. And you can see the deep water going across to the other side. Aerial shot, you saw this photograph last month. Again, Kilmarnock Wharf. This is Northumberland County here. Pier number 1, which was a subject of last month's hearing. Now we're looking at Pier 2, Pier 3, and Pier 4. Looking back the other direction. Looking up Pittman Cove. Yes, it's Pittman Cove, large waterway, but it is called Cove. And back down the other way. This is a recent aerial that Chip took earlier this month. Just giving a different perspective, looking south and out toward Indian Creek and Chesapeake Bay. This is an adjoining property owner's private pier, as is this. But these are all the units on the water of Harbor on Indian Creek. And again, additional units are to be built back on the upland. We've all seen this before. Well, the commission has seen this before. Pier 1, which was the subject of much discussion last month. Looking now at the wharf, the partially completed Pier 2. Again, you've got the marginal wharf wrapping around the face of the bulkhead. Two of the finger piers have been installed, but that's all. That was authorized under 99. That permit application in 99 was approved. The permit expired 3 years later. The applicant asked for an extension, actually asked for a reactivation and an extension. That permit was reactivated and extended by the full commission. That permit 3 years later expired once again. The applicant asked, or the permittee asked, for another extension, and we felt that it was more appropriate to review the project in its entirety as the permit had expired twice at that point. Standing on the wharf, looking upstream, this is our colleague, Karen During, from VIMS. She's approximately in the location of pier number 3, that would be, and pier number 4 would be further up the shoreline. The protestants took it upon themselves, at some suggestion, to do their own soundings. That data is presented. I'll show you in a moment. Being as much as we had soundings data from the applicant and from the protestants, I felt it was appropriate to ask our staff, our engineering and surveying staff, to go out and provide our own data sounding information. That stake there is at 90 feet from mean low water at Pier 3, and we are getting depths, and we work backwards, and you'll see that data as well. Likewise, at Pier 4, that marker is 90 feet from mean low water at the proposed terminus of that particular pier. A lot of information here. I know it's unclear. It's in your packet if it's a little easier to read there. The point of this is the agent's soundings data, Carla Havens. Mr. Service representing the protestants' sounding data for pier number 3 at 20 feet from mean low water, 40 feet and so forth. Again, this is the original data you saw previously submitted by the agent. The day I was there with the engineering crew, this is the data we got on May 14th, 1:20 p.m. It was predicted for about a mid-tide, and at 90 feet we come up with 5 foot 9 inches, 80 feet 5 foot 5, and so forth. And again, this is in your packet. If it's a lot easier to read, well, it should be. Apologize, I don't have the tab right now. One second. That starts 7A1 through 7A3, if it's any easier to follow. on the printed material. Likewise, for Pier 4, the point of this is you can see some discrepancy between the depth at mean low water determined the day of the soundings by the agent, the depth at a mid-tide determined by the protestants, and the depth at another mid-tide on another day. I'm sorry, it would be back here at 50 feet. I'm working toward the shoreline here. Essentially, we believe these numbers to be correct, done by the surveying crew for that particular day on that particular tide. And again, you're seeing at 90 feet, there's 6 foot 7 inches of water. At 80 feet, there's 6 foot 7 inches of water at Pier 4 and so forth. I got this information from NOAA. NOAA gives a predicted tide for any given day at certain at certain stations they have record of, as well as an observed tide. This is the day that Ms. Havens did her site predictions, did her soundings, and you'll see that the observed tide was somewhat approximately 3 inches below the predicted tide for that day, so she was out there at about low tide on that particular day, but her depth measurements, in my estimation, are a little bit below what a normal, not mean low, but a normal low tide would be for that day, or the predicted low tide. Likewise, for the service observations, the take-home point here is this is the predicted tide for that day. Observed tide was running a little higher that day when the protestants did their soundings. This is the day I did my soundings. Murphy's Law was in effect, so there are no observations from this particular time period. The tides are running higher just before, and on the 19th, just after, they pick up again here. There may be a way to get this information. I just haven't been able to find it. This is the day we did our soundings. Staff did our soundings. We staked the Pier 3, standing on Pier 2 at the wharf, looking upstream at Pier 3 and at Pier 4 at their staked proposed locations. Just after the stakes were put in, and I think that one shows up, that's Pier 3. I couldn't see Pier 4 from this particular photograph. This is just after I did my soundings, and this is when we rely on field observations. And in all the time I've been up in Northumberland and throughout the tidewater area, I would say that this is about a low tide. May not be lower than low, may be a little higher than mean low, but the fact is this is a lower tide than a higher tide, in my estimation. Kathy, you could bring up the lights, I think, please. Rather than reading all of my evaluation, I'll get right to the issues. Several property owners on Pittman's Cove have submitted letters of objection. Some of those individuals did the sounding information. I met on site with them. Mr. Bragg has met and talked with them in an effort to resolve this issue, and we haven't gotten there yet. The objections include the following. The piers will extend more than a third the width of the waterway. The piers will interfere with boats navigating past the facility. The piers will result in additional boat traffic and wave-induced shoreline erosion in the cove. The piers could be shortened and still provide for adequate water depths, and additional piers resulting from navigational obstructions could reduce nearby property values, and that all of the property owners on the cove were not notified when the first application was reviewed in 1999. And again, Mr. Service provided his water depth sounding information. Virginia Institute of Marine Science indicates there appears to be sufficient depth for the mooring of shallow draft vessels without the need for dredging, that the natural shoreline across the narrow creek are subject to boat wake erosion, and that boat mooring facilities can introduce pollutants into the waterway. They suggest a community pier management program to address these and other concerns and recommend there be no overnight mooring at the facilities unless approved by the health department. Department of Health in 99 granted an exemption to the requirements of the sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings. That 99 exemption is still in effect. The facility currently has a sewage pump-out agreement with Chesapeake Boat Basin at Kilmarnock Wharf, just up Indian Creek, about a mile north of the site. The exemption approved by the Health Department was with the understanding that boats with installed toilets and either an overboard discharge or sewage holding tanks not be allowed to use the facility except in cases of an emergency. Department of Game and Inland Fisheries does not anticipate a significant adverse impact upon threatened or endangered wildlife resources under their jurisdiction. Conservation and Recreation documents the presence of natural resources in the project area, specifically northeastern beach tiger beetles, but they do not, due to the scope of the activity and distance to the resource, they do not anticipate any adverse impact. Corps of Engineers found that the proposed work is outlined to complete the project as authorized originally under 990374, satisfied the conditions of Norfolk District's regional permit number 19, and as such, they did not require any further authorization for the project. Lancaster County Wetland Board approved the project at their April 12th public hearing, and no other agencies have commented on the application to date. During our review of the original request, no opposition was raised by the public during the required public interest review. The project was notified properly in the newspaper. The adjoining property owners were notified. The property owner across the way at Alexandria Police Boys Camp was notified. There was no opposition. However, staff brought the project to the commission because we were uncomfortable with the number of slips, given the number of units on the property and given the shoreline, linear footage of shoreline at about 1,300 feet under zoning at the time in Northumberland County, you need 200 feet of shoreline for a residential unit, single-family home. We took that and applied some policy that we were using at the time to determine that at 1,300 feet, you could get six single-family homes. Six single-family homes would be six private non-commercial piers that do not require a permit from this agency, provided they meet other certain criteria. And at two slips per pier, which is a reasonable number we've come up with, we came up with 12 slips. We further recommended to the commission that those 12 slips be all centralized at the wharf where the deepest water was. However, the commission at the time chose to approve the applicant's request for all 24 slips at the four docks, one slip for each unit in the subdivision. The Corps has found that the project satisfies their navigation criteria, and staff believes in an attempt to address the protestants' concerns raised over specifically piers 3 and 4, the ones further up the cove, not the one at the wharf, we felt that that could be redesigned to reduce the amount of channelward encroachment over state bottom and possibly address some of the navigation concerns. Essentially, this is what we came up with. Mean low water being represented by the dark blue line. At 76 feet channelward of mean low water, especially at Pier 4, there seemed to be adequate depth. There's no more water at 80 feet or at 90 feet than there is at 76 feet in this particular case. That's not quite the case for Pier 3. But at any rate, we felt that this would be a reasonable compromise. Boats would come bow in. Each of these slips would have a lift. I very rarely have seen a boat back into a boat lift. This is actually also the design on Pier 2 as originally proposed by the applicant and as currently proposed for the pier for some of the slips at the wharf, bow 2 mooring. This would reduce the channelward encroachment by 14 feet. It would reduce some of the square footage over state-owned subaqueous bottom by eliminating a couple of the six-foot-wide finger piers, and that's currently what our recommendation is for both piers 3 and 4. You'll see that. Actually, let me go ahead and read that. This would be the second paragraph on page 1-3. Staff recommends modifying piers 3 and 4 as follows. Two four-slip piers with a 6 foot by 78 foot T head. I'm sorry, that says 76 foot. That's either way. And 3 4-foot by 24 foot finger piers. Four boat lifts, each slip with a lift, and 5 outboard mooring piles, extending a maximum of 76 feet channelward of mean low water at both piers 3 and 4. This would allow the stern of all vessels at the piers to reach a minimum of 3.5 feet at mean low water. Again, mean low water on a particular day, low water the day I was there, or mid-tide. Three and a half feet of mean low water at pier number 3 and 4.5 feet mean low water as our staff's estimation at pier number 4. This would also reduce the channelward encroachment of both piers by 14 feet. and, like I mentioned before, reduce the amount of physical encroachment over state-owned Sebaquis bottom. Staff believes pier number 2, as proposed, is acceptable given the deeper water at the basin at the existing wharf facility, and that's evidenced by soundings and by the photographs in the record. After evaluating the merits of the entire project against the concerns raised by those in opposition, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project as modified. Again, modification to piers 3 and 4 as shown here, no modification to pier 2, with a royalty assessed at a rate of $1.50 per square foot for the bold outline of all new structures and slips. Staff further recommends that the clean marina boating tips handout, which was made part of the original permit in 99, be included as part of this permit so that all the boat owners at Harbor on Indian Creek can be educated additionally as to how to operate around the waterway in a responsible manner. That be incorporated into the permit document for distribution to all of the users at the community facilities. Just to close, again, looking back up Indian Creek, I'm sorry, Pittman Cove, looking almost due west, I guess it would be. Staff's attempt to represent what is proposed and the T-head being brought back as modified by staff's recommendation. And one last view, looking somewhat more easterly. And that's all I have.
Can you put that slide back up?
Yes, sir.
Corner,
I would be happy to attempt to answer any questions. The applicant is here. The agent is here. Several of the protestants are here.
Mr. Schick.
So what you're proposing is basically that the T-head would be 40 feet from mean low tide.
Yeah, I could go back to that slide if it
sure.
would be helpful.
Absolutely.
Now, your depths didn't go to 40 feet. You stopped at 50 feet away, right?
Yeah, let me get to that page real quick.
Because I was looking
on pier, they stopped 50 feet from mean low water on pier 4 and 60 feet from mean low water on pier 3. We didn't work all the way
right.
to the shore.
The applicant says 40 feet away, there's 3 feet of water. Then the protestants say 7 feet of water.
Pier 4?
Yeah, at pier 4.
One more time?
At 40 feet away.
The applicant's data would indicate 3 feet at mean low water, 40 feet from mean low water.
Right.
And Mr. Service and the protestants would indicate 7 feet,
right.
4 foot. There's only a 2 foot tide range
right.
In that cove. Actually, it's 1.4 okay. feet.
But you all measured 4 feet at 50 feet, so it very well would be about
That's actually 4 foot 6 inches.
Oh, 4 foot six.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a six.
So maybe 4 feet of water at 40 feet.
Yes, sir. At 50 feet from mean low. Yeah. You could interpolate, yes.
Because the lift itself will take just as much depth that, you know, right at the T-head as it would, you know, at the stern of the boat. So that's what I'm really looking
gotcha.
For there.
Gotcha. Okay. I haven't installed them, so.
You're right.
But of course, Mr.
You know
Robin.
Than I.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If each one of those is a lift, what's the purpose of the outboard mooring pilings, or are those outboard pilings actually supporting the lift structure?
Again, I haven't installed or designed lifts. These lifts are proposed. For instance, if the gentleman comes in on this particular slip, and when he purchases his unit, says I have a 32-foot sailboat, I don't need a lift. Don't put one in my slip.
Okay.
It typically a lift, and I guess if the contractor's here, he can expand on what kind of lifts they're talking about. But they would put the lift on the outward mooring pilings and the pilings that are at the end of the finger pier
right.
that aren't actually represented. I guess they're supposed to be pilings, mid-pilings, too?
I didn't really go through the entire design of this, you know, how many piles
right.
to support the structure. The point I was trying to make is this is the outermost
right. area.
encroachment into the channel, and this is the eastern and westernmost encroachment up and down the cove. I assume, yes, there will be additional piles to support the structures.
Any other questions? Thanks, Chief.
I'm going to go back to that last aerial if I can, Mr. Commissioner, if it's helpful. Whoops. If I can figure out how to do it.
Thank you. Mr. Fox.
On this photograph, are the lines what you propose, or...
This is really trying to represent... I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your question.
Well, are they... My impression of what you proposed here is the drawings would be different.
What I was trying to show is basically the location
of the
three structures. And this is somewhat of a lowercase T-head, i.e., the T-head on the structure is not on the outboard side of the of the pier. Again, that I did the best I could. I couldn't actually pick up when Chip flew this. The PVC pipes are there. I've tried with glasses. I can't find them. But that's essentially where the structures are proposed to go.
That would show kind of the out of bounds.
There are stakes on the shoreline representing the channelward end of the piers. There are stakes in the creek representing the channelward end of the piers. I did that specifically for the protestants so they could go up and down and take a look at it.
Any further questions? Thank you, sir. Is the applicant present or represented? Come forward, please, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name, who you represent, please.
Robert Bragg and the Harbor on Indian Creek, LLC.
Proceed, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me apologize for letting my permits expire two times. I had been working diligently on building the homes and community amenities and just simply lost track of time. It's just amazing how fast 3 years goes by. A lot of what I was going to go over, Jay's already covered. The master plan was approved in 1999 by the Lancaster County Board of Supervisors. The property was used industrially for 60-plus years. I purchased property in 1999 and downzoned it for residential use. We've cleaned up the shoreline, removed overhanging scrub trees, graded to a gentle slope, ripped at the shore, stabilized the bank. We now have a beautiful stand of marsh grass where there was none before. We invested heavily in the shoreline work and are proud of the results. All the homes are over 100 feet from the water. We have included clean boating regulations and that clean boating that Jay had spoke of into our covenants regarding trash containment, bills discharge, boat cleaning, and so forth. And the homeowners association will be responsible to ensure the compliance. We also have the pump out agreement with Chesapeake Boat Basin. Again, as Jay said, in 2000, we had no objection from adjacent property owners or folks across the creek. And this time, we still have no objections from the adjacent property owners and one from one of the neighbors across the creek. Getting to the encroachment in the tidal waters, dock number two, mean low water to mean low water is 255 feet. We're really looking for, a 46 extension from the existing bulkhead, and that would be less than 25% of the remaining waterway. If you did that measurement from the shoreline before the wharf was built years ago, it would still only be a third of the waterway. You can see to this side of the wharf, there's a big indentation there. Oh, okay. Point to this. Oh, you mean with this here? Yeah, okay. The this area right in here, that was land removed and then used to build the wharf. So the shoreline didn't get indent like that. It came around as a point. The dock number three, mean low water, mean low water is 350 feet, and so the 90-foot mean low water dock that we propose would be right at 25%. Dock number four, mean low water. Mean low water is 280 feet, and again, our 90-foot there would be less than 33%. Since we've received approval by the Army Corps of Engineers, I understand there's not a navigation issue. VMRC has suggested a change in design for docks number three and four, where the slips would be perpendicular to the shoreline. This does work better and reduces coverage to the bottom. They suggested three finger piers, 4 feet by 24, and I indicated I needed only two finger piers, but did ask that they be 6 feet by 28. The amount of coverage would be reduced from 996 square feet from what was originally approved to 888 square feet. I have asked to keep channel one encroachment at 90 feet mean low water for the water depth I need. From a visual standpoint, neighbors will be looking at the end of 2 6-foot wide finger piers extending 82 feet from mean low water instead of a 6 foot by 50 foot T head at 90 feet from mean low water. I have invested a huge amount of time and capital developing this upscale neighborhood within the parameters of what was originally approved. And its final success depends on having the slips approved as in the original plan. And nine owners are present right now waiting for the slips I promised. And so, in any event, I have discussed the new dock design for three and four, and all are okay with that, but feel the 90-foot mean low water is reasonable and necessary to get the water depth needed, especially at dock number three. So at this point, I ask you to approve this as originally approved with the modifications to docks three and four, and do promise to have these docks completed within 3 to 6 months. If Jay, could you put back that, because I think this...
Your drawings?
Yeah, this one right here.
Mine?
That one or mine. This one would be fine. If you could go back to that.
Which one is that one? Is that one yours or mine?
Yours.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, yours are there.
Well, go to this one, and then that way I can... I think.
Just keep clicking, and you'll get to yours.
Okay. And in this particular case here, let's see that pen. I haven't used one of these before. What I was proposing would be to next this here, next this one in the middle, and then I would have a finger pier between each of the two slips. So this further reduced coverage from what VMRC had recommended or staff here. And then I also asked that these here, let's go ahead and make them 6 feet, since if there are going to be lift motors possibly on both sides and people using this, and then also make it 28 feet instead of the 24.
If you don't mind, I hesitate to jump up here, but I think it'll be a lot easier if you just show.
Okay, all right. This is what I had proposed. And so, again, and what I was saying from an aesthetic standpoint, you have the two ends of the two finger piers 6 feet wide, and they would only be out to 82 feet if my 90-foot, was approved. And then the mooring pylons would be out at 90 feet. And one of the gentlemen asked the question about the mooring pylons versus the lift. We put lifts in this time just because of what happened on Dock 1, and then that got to be kind of confusing, where people came along and wanted lifts. And then, of course, Jay had approved the first lift. And anyway, we've been through all of that. So we thought this time, if the lifts are approved and somebody wants a lift, they can put the lift in, but not the mooring pylons at 90 feet. So I think at the end of the day, there's probably going to be more lifts than not and less mooring pylons out at 90 feet. And the difference between boat lifts and that, I guess one advantage of a boat lift is that you do keep a lot of bottom paint out of the water, because there's no need to paint the bottoms of your boat, so it is an environmental. And again, I extrapolated and tried to get the best mean low water based on when Carla, my agent, went out and did. We knew that that was lower than a normal tide. I think Jay said that NOAA data said 3 inches or 4 inches, 6 inches, something like that. So we bumped those up from what she had, and these corresponded with what Jay had at the day he was out there. And on Pier 4, in the middle of the slip, you still have 5 feet mean low water. And you are going to have some folks that might have a sailboat that draws 4.5 feet. And even, as one gentleman mentioned, even with the lift up at the front part of the slips, you've got an I-beam that goes across and then a bunk across the top of that. And so a lift still needs a reasonable amount of water depth.
Okay. Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, Mr. Shook, are you proposing to put pilings at halfway between, you know, you don't show any pilings in between your mooring pilings and your pilings on your dock?
Well, there would be pilings, obviously, automatically on the finger piers, but outside I have not. No, I don't think they're necessary. But, you know, a lot of people want them, but I haven't put those on there.
Do you have a contractor that drew this for you, or?
Actually, I modified what VMRC staff drew, and just that's. I mean, we have our original, but here again, this is a better arrangement, and I agree with, and I think that it'll.
So I'm straight and not totally confused. This is kind of like a third iteration. Initial, y'all provided what you believed, and now he's modified
what. Response to our proposed compromise, and I would like to make it clear that my attempt to represent this graphically is by no means a structural design for piers, boat lifts, mooring piles.
I understand.
It was an attempt to show.
I'm just trying to follow the flow.
But and I would also, if I may.
Yes, sir.
No.
I would also make it clear to Mr. Bragg and everyone else that any change to whatever the commission approves, if they approve anything today, will require formal commission action. So ask for all the mooring piles you want.
Yeah, I don't mean to tell you what you need to do, but I certainly don't want you to get a permit and then find out it's not working for you. Designed like that, you can't put lifts in because you don't have mooring pilings. You don't have the pilings to support the lift. You're going to need more pilings in the center. Plus, you might have a problem getting on and off the boat. If you come in bow first, you only have a 24-foot or 26-foot finger pier. You can't get off the boat onto the finger pier. So you're going to need finger piers to go all the way out to the end pilings for lifts. Now, whether you actually build it all the way out, you know, if somebody doesn't want to lift, you don't need to. But you really should, you know, in your plan, provide for all of the structural amenities that you need for lifts. And that way you'll have it.
Well, one thing I was, I have been under the impression that, you know, when you get the permit for a lift, it includes the mooring piles necessary for the lift.
Yes.
But I don't, you know.
No, normally your plan has to show every piling you want.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, that's.
Before you know it, somebody in opposition will say that was not permitted, right. And then you know an Osprey post shows up or Osprey nest shows up on top of it, or a weather station or different things. Mr. Fox.
Mr. Bragg, given the depth results that everybody seems to have done, and I know that the data differ, but anyway, they've done them. On your design, could you move the whole thing in so that the outbound pilings are only 76 feet off of the shore? In other words, probably the way you do it is shorten the 6x48 to 6x34 or something?
Well, Mr. Fox, I think it would be a hardship. It would be a definite hardship on pier number 3. The water depth there from that aerial you can see is already thin, and I suspect that was just, I guess, from prop wash from barges, you know, for, you know, years and years. Then it gets deeper when you go upstream toward dock number 4. And I think that dock number 4 could probably, you know, I could probably go to 80 feet, but I think 76 is then again getting me back in trouble and as far as water depth.
If I could add something to that, if you're looking at putting a lift in for a 36-foot slip, typically that's a 24,000-pound lift, they're about a foot and a half thick. Your bottom of your boat is about 2.5-foot draft. So you add 2.5 foot to the 1 to 2 feet, you know, you're talking about more than 3.5 feet of draft. So at low tide, if you have a 24,000-pound lift
you won't be able to get your boat off the lift if you only have 3 foot of water.
Correct.
Or 3.5 feet of water. And that's part of the problem of bringing, you know, it closer to shore. Now, it looks like on some of your, you know, depths that you can do that, but, you know, that's a concern that I saw there if you're looking to put lifts in. Now, if you're not looking to put lifts in, you know, 3.5 feet is plenty for a 36-foot boat. So.
Well, and that's also part of the reason I was asking to keep the original 90 feet from mean low water that was approved, and since it was approved by the Corps, and it also, you know, the actual percentages go from 25% to 33%, and really nothing is exceeding 33%.
But the creek is wider at pier number 4 than it is at pier number 3, is that correct?
No, it's actually, I think, no, it's wider at pier number 3.
Pier number 3, okay, but pier number 3 needs to be longer because of the depths. So that's favorable relative to taking up less of the creek.
Correct, yes, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions? Right, thank you. So while we're here, we'll listen to the protestants as well. Anybody else that you had want to speak in your behalf? You said you had 9.
Carla Havens is here, who did represent the water depths, and if she has anything that she needs to add.
Okay.
Okay.
You're okay? Good to go. All right. Those in opposition to the project? Anyone in opposition to the project? Good morning, sir. Would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Peter Ginocchio.
Please proceed, sir.
May I ask Woodward to put up, I think it was your second slide.
Aerial photograph? I'll say what?
Yes, the aerial photograph. Yeah, this one here, if you can remember
which,
that
you
one right
which
there.
One you want. This one?
I guess we didn't have the one
that you sent me. You're right. This one here?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Yes, yeah. That would be fine.
And again, just click on this to get your laser.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. In my letters to March the 15th and April the 12th to Mr. Woodward, I addressed 4 points that I'd like to summarize here. Mm-hmm. Principally, my objection is not to the dock, or the number of docks, or the number of slips proposed, but to the length and the resultant obstruction to the waterway. In this particular view, this is the as we talked earlier. This is before the project began. We talk about the locations of docks 3 and 4. If I can. I'm colorblind, so I can't see the thing on the screen. Okay. If you wouldn't mind if I approach the screen. That'd be fine.
Just use this.
Okay, yeah, I'll use the mouse. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. This is the location approximately of dock number 3. Mr. Bragg has got that calculated the dimension across there all the way up into this area, which, as you can see, from the depth of the water and so forth, they're really not a navigable part to get by that dock. My scaling, and I am a mechanical engineer, my scaling of this aerial photograph that Mr. Woodward provided, and he provided the scale dimension, I scale that at 295 to this point here, 295 feet. And over here, this is 250 feet across from where the dock number 4 is going to be. And so I submit, gentlemen, that this is a lot further than can be talked about. I do appreciate the efforts that the commission has made, or the staff has made, to reduce the size, and that would be certainly a step in the right direction, one that we would support. I finally would still object strongly to this area here being built out. We get a lot of boats that come in here and want to come out here and anchor overnight, gunk holders, and frankly, I think when we get 12 piers built in this area off of this old bulkhead, which is, by the way, is shorter now than it is longer already than it was, and we're talking about adding, you know, some more dimension to what it is. This is going to be very difficult to get by, and that's my point about the length. And my second point is that the docks are classified as community piers, but more reasonably should be thought of as joint-use private docks. Therefore, they are not deserving, in my opinion, of the exceeding the 25% rule that other private docks on this waterway have had to meet. My dock is one of those that had to meet the 25% rule. Nobody talked about how deep the water needed to be for my lift. And by the way, there are times that I can't get the bow of my boat on the front lift because it bottoms out, as this gentleman has said earlier, Mr. Schick. I appreciate the point, but I don't think that anybody has the right to certain depths of water without regard to the obstruction they provide to the waterway. My third point, sir, is the fact that these docks were previously approved, but that should not set any precedent with this commission. The original approval was given on the basis of inaccurate dimensional data, which has now been brought to light. Lastly, however you gentlemen decide regarding the length of these proposed private use docks, I ask that some reasonable time frame be established for the building of the 20 and complete building of the 24 housing units to be completed, and the docks and slips reduced in scope if they're not, to maintain the relationship of one slip per unit. We do not want additional slips built for homes that do not exist, given that this dock proposal already exceeds Lancaster County's rules by about twice the number of slips that should exist on the given amount of shoreline. Thank you for your consideration of these points.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Thank you. Anyone else in opposition? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir, of your God.
I do.
Could you state your name, please?
Paul Service. First of all, our group doesn't have objection to Mr. Bragg building his piers, and we've stated before the idea of moving them in and moving them shoreward was our biggest concern. And try and get information on community piers. I poked around the internet and I was trying to get a definition of what a community pier was from the Corps of Engineers. I wasn't able to find that anywhere. Maybe somebody could give me that definition.
A community pier at time to time is in the eye of the beholder, depending on the application, what's going on. I don't think it's all-inclusive nor all-exclusive term.
The only definition I found of a community pier was in Lancaster County Code. They define a community pier as a temporary, not overnight mooring for boats. For property owners of a specifically designated subdivision. And that was the only thing I could find. But I didn't quite know what we were dealing with initially when we were talking about a community pier. When we took measurements of the width, and Mr. Genocchio had already talked about that, we're talking about a third of the way across the waterway or a quarter of the way across the waterway, which is what we were held to. Our main concern as a group was that because there's ample water, we feel that the piers could be moved shoreward without any real problem to the owner.
How do you feel about staff's recommendations? Have you read them?
I looked at the staff's recommendation, and I think that would be a big step in the right direction.
Okay.
And we would agree with that.
Okay.
And that was our main concern, just the idea that the pier was extending further into the waterway than needed to, and most of what I found in looking at community piers from the Corps of Engineers, they talked about them with the idea of having a community pier so that there would be less intrusion on the waterway,
right,
so that they wouldn't have one for each unit, and it would cut down the amount of intrusion, and basically that's what we'd like to see, less intrusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Service. Any questions, Mr. Service? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition? Give you 3 minutes to wrap up if you'd like to, if anything to say, or... Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Please.
You're still under oath.
Okay. One point I'd make here is that dock number 3 is right here. It's not here. And that measurement, you know, that Carla took was to this point, not to this point here. And actually right here on dock number 4, I think when I was out there with Jay the other day, we were sort of showing it sort of this direction. And, you know, I think the original plan showed it sort of going here. So, and then getting back to Mr. Schick's, you know, comments, you know, about the boat lifts, again, I just assume when, if you had a permit for the boat lift, you knew you needed 4 pylons for the lift. Usually you'd use 2 on the finger pier, and then you'd add 2 more. And generally that would be sort of a trade-off between the 2 outboard pylons that you wouldn't need. And so it's kind of hard to show both on here, I guess, on this drawing. And if it's an issue for today, as far as approval goes, I mean, I would just say I'd next the boat lifts if that's what the commission, you know, would suggest. And then basically just folks that want a lift, then they, through me, or at some point the association, will just have to make an application for the boat lift and just do it individually on a case-by-case basis. But likewise, too, you know, I, again, would promise that I'd go ahead and all the structure would be built. It would be nice, and I'd probably use, you know, most of the 3-year period on any mooring pylons that hadn't been decided upon, because I hate to stick a mooring pylon out there just to find out, you know, that somebody wants a boat lift instead. Right now, we have 9 people waiting for the slips.
Most of them want boat lifts?
No, I think like 3 of them say they want it now, but the other 6 say that they're going to want it at some point in time. So, and I can't help that. So, I mean, I can just basically...
I understand. Right.
So,
any other questions?
Thank you.
Mr. Graham. If we were to take in consideration, just as, don't break it then, I don't need that. For what it's worth, if the commission were to consider entertaining staff recommendations as far as dimensions and things were concerned, the gentleman ultimately wanted to put a boat lift in as far as in other piles necessary to accomplish that. Would that be a possibility as far as an approval by this commission today? My personal opinion, after listening to all of this, for what it's worth, and I'll leave it open to debate and discussion. I'm trying to bring it all together on this busy day, is that neither side is really opposed to staff recommendations. It's some of the arrangements necessary to accommodate boat lifts and things like that, whether they're considered in the staff recommendations or not. So I guess if we were to approve staff recommendations, could it be with the conditions that that permit would also authorize the necessary pilings to accomplish a boat lift, should they?
Yes, but we would say that the drawings actually are the standard by which the permit is complied with.
Right.
The commission approved it with 4 lifts. We'd expect Mr. Bragg to provide, prior to permit issuance, a permit drawing that didn't show any additional encroachment aerial or laterally, but which basically had the lifts position and the pilings, you know, depicted on the drawings. If he chose not to do it, and the individuals couldn't, because it's really he or the association,
right,
came back in later on and wanted to add lifts, because they're not private piers, they would require modification. I don't anticipate a problem with lifts themselves. So it's really, you know.
It's a workable solution.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
I have one question.
Yes, Mr. Schick.
So if he built these slips and then, you know, the permit's completed, just because he had permitted to have lifts, if the lifts weren't put in and then the permit expires, they would have to come back and apply for the lifts anyway.
If the permit expired, whether it's dredging or some construction activity was not completed, even though they had authorization, if they wanted to later on pursue that, they'd either have to come back, as you will frequently reactivate and modify and extend the permit, or apply under a new permit number to install lifts in 1 and 2.
And either way is just as easy as far as to do.
Yeah, the only thing a modification would require is possibly a newspaper advertisement.
Any other questions, Bob? Thank you, Bob. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Tankard.
I'll take staff. I move that we accept staff's recommendations as the standard for which this pier permit will be issued, given the consideration that we will accept boat lifts on this standard pier.
Subsequent to the submittal of drawings.
Yes.
Of
that.
Mr. Robbins, do you have a...
Just a point of clarification. I would just... And I guess you've just done that, but offer a clarification that we would require drawings acceptable to staff prior to issuing the permit.
I think Mr. Tank will include that in his motion.
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.